This recording, South Africa 33, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near Duke Street, Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. And then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Well, I was born in Port Elizabeth in the Eastern Cape in South Africa, but that has no bearing on anything whatsoever because I was very quickly flown off to Rhodesia, then Rhodesia. And I was there for, I think, 2 years, and then moved down to Pretoria where I was till the age of 6. So possibly my very early formative years for learning English was in Pretoria. At the age of 7, I went to Windhoek to an Anglican church school, boarding school, where I would have mixed with boys who had a rather rough accent. And from there to Walvis Bay, where I mixed with boys for the next 7-odd years with an even rougher accent. And not only that, but they were a mix of Afrikaans, German, and English. So out of that, you got something almost unpronounceable. I was quite a bookworm. The school was extremely rough. We had a fight just about every afternoon. And as I say, there were a lot of boys who were Afrikaans, so the English you were learning was a very Afrikaans variation of it. And so I'd be talking that language, but I spent an enormous amount of time learning by myself. And one of my favorite authors was Dickens. So I picked up a very archaic brand of English, plus a lot of complicated words which I didn't know how to pronounce. And when I got down here, I'm forever being corrected on wrong pronunciation. Because of this, I think I picked up a lot of my vocabulary simply by reading and not talking, because I doubt that many of the boys used any of those words whatsoever. And I had this advantage that every afternoon I would either be reading, or I was actually being self-educated by going to the docks and going on the ships from America and getting magazines from America and I learned more from those magazines, which was Popular Science, Popular Mechanics, and Science Illustrated. I learned more from those magazines than I ever learned at any school whatsoever.